Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion. Let's praise Him every Sunday morning at 5 with Ayanda Nenemba for prayer, intercession, testimonies, worship, and the Word. Let's praise Him with Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Pila ubo minat, mamela inkubo zetu ku radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. Umhlobo wakho wemihla ngemihla.
That is exactly who and what we are. Dada, good morning to you and thank you for standing by.
Good morning to you, Ayanda, and to the listeners of Radio Pulpit this morning. Thank you.
Amen. We are pila out, Dada, this morning. Singaphili sodwa dada.
I mean good health akukho nto ndivayo.
Amen. Last week I managed to listen back and we were really speaking to the issue of morality and how you know as I listened back I realized there's actually a little bit of a chicken and egg. You don't know which came first. You don't know if it is the lack of morality that leads to fatherlessness or that leads to fathers losing the strength of fatherhood, or if it is actually fatherlessness that leads to a lack of morality. Perhaps if we could do a quick recap before we speak to the issue of divine empowerment unto the responsibility and demands of fathering.
Yes. You will remember that the Word of God teaches us that God chose Abraham because God trusted Abraham to be able to train his descendants and all persons born within his household to be followers of God, to live a godly life, a righteous life, a spiritual life, or the kingdom life upon the earth. So children need to be introduced to the God way of making decisions, of knowing what is right and what is good. In other words, do I take all the food and eat it whilst my friends are hungry? Or do I start to share what we have, resources that we have? That is more. That is a moral decision. So you teach that morality from a youngest age. You teach the idea that you cannot have violence towards other people when there is no need for that violence. You always look for a peaceful a solution, a sensible, logical solution, and so on and so forth. So those are the things that a person must be taught by a father. Remember, the idea of a father is an author, an originator of things. So whatever you have, it is what you got from your fathers before. Whether those people came to you as a spiritual father or they came to you as both a natural biological father and a spiritual father. So that is really the issue that we need to understand, that there must be a heritage that you have of morality in the realms of decision making. There must be a heritage that you have from your fathers of earthly resources. And sustainability and viability upon the earth, that children, our children as fathers, must not start life on deficit. We must make sure that we create the platforms for a forward movement and a continuous movement of life.
Sure. That is definitely wholesome. So my family, in case you're really just joining us in this journey, We have a conviction, Basalwane, that I believe is a shared conviction. We are in agreement with the Lord. Dada, I don't know if it was you who was sharing with us that the real thing that Satan wanted to achieve in the Garden of Eden was to separate man from the Father. Yes, God was also the King. Yes, God was also the Lord in that time, but there was and he was also a friend to Adam, but there was a father element that Adam and Eve were separated from. And he continues even to this day to put together and to orchestrate every kind of trick and scheme in order to perpetuate the separation of fathers from their children. So if you've just joined us, that's the conversation. We are looking at how, you know, how do we raise onyana betu to be formidable forces in their role as fathers in their households. So that today you want to teach us about, or rather you want to share about the divine empowerment that is available to fathers for the grace of executing their role.
Yes. Today, we are talking to the fathers who ought to be fathers.
Mm.
Those who are not yet fathers, and those who are already fathers, and those who are already grandfathers.
Mm-hmm.
To say, good fellows, there is empowerment. God never calls you into an office or a line of duty without providing you the power to accomplish that office, all the duties that are entailed in your office. So today, the root scripture from which we are learning this for now, I'm reading the Amplified, Ephesians 3:14 to 15, and it says, for this reason, grasping the greatness of this plan by which Jews and Gentiles are joined together in Christ, I bow my knees in reverence before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name.
Mm.
God, the first and ultimate Father. This is God from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name.
Come on.
God, the first and ultimate Father. So God has called us to be fathers like Him, to be originators, to be mentors and sustainers of earthly life of our natural and spiritual children.
Sure.
We are to be imitators of God here on earth, and in that regard, He gives us the grace and power to succeed as earthly fathers.
Mm.
Now, I must highlight this, that Jesus taught us to pray. He says, Heavenly Father. So you have a Heavenly Father and an earthly Father.
Sure.
But the earthly Father must be a good representative and an excellent representative of the Godly Father, of the Heavenly Father, sorry. So you must be a representative of God, the first and ultimate Father.
Sure, Dad.
So when you say you are a father with a small f here on earth, and there's a father with a big f.
Hallelujah. I really like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So all of us are the children of God. Our surname is Jehovah.
Mm.
More importantly, God is the only true template of blueprint of fatherhood.
Mm.
Every father who wants to succeed as a father must study the template.
Sure.
Seek God's wisdom on how to implement the template of fatherhood. Ask God for the power to implement the template.
Mm.
That is how we succeed in fatherhood. So in the same way that a builder cannot build without getting the correct plans for the building, you must have the plans for this building. The design must be there. So the fatherhood is not something that you originate yourself. It's not your original idea. The original idea of fatherhood comes from God. And He wants you to continuously imitate it and imitate it exactly the way that He said it must be. That is where success comes from. Once you know that this thing that you are doing, yes, your children will boast one day and say, I got this idea from my father. But you actually got it from their father, the big father.
Sure.
Right? So I got this teaching that I'm teaching my children. I got it from the original father, the first and the ultimate father. And I'm passing it on. My children will look at it as a heritage. They will look at it as a legacy that they got from their father. But the original author of the whole thing is the Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. So, if we were to just take this passage more fully to see how God supports this idea or elaborates this idea of fatherhood in the book of Ephesians. Mm. He says in Ephesians 3:14-21, he says the following in the Amplified Classic Edition. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. That Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name.
Sure.
May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. Verse 17. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in your heart. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely in love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it.
Sure.
That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves to love Christ, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being and to all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him, by and in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far above and beyond, above all we dare to ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, and hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Now, now, fatherhood is given to all humans by God. No one has any other fatherhood except that title and office is derived from God himself. So if you have any other type of fatherhood that is not derived from God himself, it is an imitation and it's going to fail you. The family of God is the heritage of God across all centuries and all generations upon generations. We are all a reward of God to humanity and a living history and a living image of God on earth to remind everyone that we all have a heavenly Father, the creator and sustainer of all life. Thus, as fathers, we sustain legacies and lineages in the same way that God does. So, if you are looking at God, God has a big family. God, the Zulu people, all of them, they are created by God.
That's right.
The Russians, all of them, are created by God. The Japanese, everyone, and in God's mind, everybody is the heritage of God. Everybody is the family of God in his mind. And his entire purpose in Christ is to bring all people in unity and into one family as a father. And he gives us a little opportunity to have that family of 4 kids or 10 kids, your own little heritage here that you must bring up. But he looks after billions and billions of people individually and carefully, and he knows the hair on every child of his. He knows one little bit of the hair.
Sure.
That's how careful he is about his children. Now, in order to be a strong and effective and capable father, you must have the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit indwelling in you and giving you divine strength of character and capacity to perform divine deeds on earth. When you have Christ and the Holy Spirit, it becomes obvious. Romans 8:9 says the following. However, you are not living in the flesh, controlled by the sinful nature, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God lives in you, directing and guiding you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him and is not a child of God. So, if you say you are a father, a godly father, then the Spirit of Christ lives in you.
That's right.
And we can see it, obviously, in your behavior. But if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you are not a child of God. So, if you are going to be a godly father, then the Spirit of Christ must dwell in you. When the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit is in you, the godliness and overall goodness as a father manifests itself clearly. Let's look at it. How do we see that this person? The Bible says you will see them by their fruit. So how do we see the fruit of a godly father? Galatians 5:22-23. It says the following. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, is love. Unselfish concern for others. In other words, when you have love, you can't say no, regardless of whether the school fees is paid, I must have enough money for my whiskies. Whether my children are getting adequate education, I must still drive a Mercedes. I cannot travel on a bus or public transport. But if you are a true father, your children and your family will be fully catered for before any comfort and luxury comes to you. The other fruit of the Spirit is joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When you are a father, you are full of joy, and in your house there is joy because you are strong.
Wow.
But the joy of the Lord is your
strength. Hallelujah.
Inner peace is another one. There are people who have a peaceful and quiet spirit, and that is the Holy Spirit. There are people who are war itself, who are explosive, who are loud, who are brawlers, who are fighters. If you are a father, you must be known as a person of inner peace. There is, first of all, peace inside of you and therefore peace in your home. Patience. You know that good results come, for sure. And good results come through perseverance. Good results come through trying again and endurance. You are not rushing for shortcuts. You are not frustrated. You're saying, I'm waiting on the Lord, but you're irritable. When you are a father who is rooted and grounded in Christ, you are patient. Even when people make mistakes, you are able to say, okay, I'll take the next 2 years and correct them and rebuild them. But the Bible says another fruit that you must manifest is kindness, mercifulness, showing grace. I always say, even when I teach, even managers and leaders, that yes, it's good to continuously point out stringently how to do things in a disciplined way, in an orderly way. But when one of your members, whether it's your child or your staff member, fails and falls, Don't kick him when he is down. Don't kick him when he is down.
Sure, Dad.
Don't kick him when he is down. Now, that is the time for you to be like a doctor. It is time for you to be a repairer, a rebuilder, a reconstructor when they fall. Sometimes even your own children will fall pregnant out of wedlock. And you are well known as a man of good morals and this and the other. Don't now turn around and join the world in condemning your child and destroying your child. Show kindness and the spirit of rebuilding. The Bible also says there must be goodness. Goodness as community members, because by the way, you model fatherhood inside your yard and outside your yard.
That's right.
In your community where you are living, do people know that that is a good man? Do people know that, if you want something that has got the truth in it, Sandile, you go to Sandile. When you want something that is fair, you go to Sandile. When you are wrong, he will be able to tell you that, no, you are mistaken here. The truth is in this direction. Justice is in this direction. That is goodness. Faithfulness. Faithfulness means also that you are not two-faced.
Wow.
You are also not a person with a forked tongue. Your yes is your yes. Your no is your no. There is a degree of consistency. You are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Sure.
That is faithfulness as a father. There is gentleness. There is self-control. When people come shouting and insulting you, are you able to calm things down and to take them on a constructive path? And the Bible then says in this passage, against such there is no law. In other words, if you live this type of life as a father, you manifest it in your home. Because what we see you in public, we must first see it at home. And you must pray to God. Lord, I pray that your love, let me be an instrument of love. Let me manifest this joy. Let me manifest this peace. You pray for that. And the greatest prayer that you can pray, no matter who you are, is the prayer of God transforming you, more than prayers of God transforming circumstances. Can God transform you to be more like God, to be more like Christ, more than praying for circumstances praying for circumstances to change? We pray for God to change us. So there are qualities that we must look for as we become fathers, grandfathers.
Sure.
Or preparing to be fathers or practicing fatherhood. There are qualities. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 9, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. He doesn't say that God will add to that. In other words, now it now changes around. It says, you must be aware what faith is and have it. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. So you must hear the word of God and accept the word of God and allow it to transform you. Goodness. What is goodness? How do I practice it? Add to your faith goodness. To goodness, add knowledge. Knowledge cannot just be poured into you randomly. You study knowledge.
Sure, Dad.
The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. To be a man of God who is not ashamed. So, even the topic of fatherhood, the topic, you know that as a man who is married, that when you see that I'm not feeling too good about my wife, that is the time that you bring out those CDs, those recordings of the teachings about how to be a good husband.
That's right, Dad.
And allow God to revive you through knowledge, how to conduct. The Bible says, live with your wives according to knowledge, according to wisdom.
And understanding.
And understanding. So, you must also live with your children and grandchildren according to what? Knowledge and what?
Wisdom.
And understanding. And so you absorb, even listening to shows like this, intentionally, to make sure that those things that make you a good father are built up inside of you.
Sure.
So, to knowledge, add self-control. To self-control, add perseverance. To perseverance, add godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection or brotherly love. To mutual affection or brotherly love, add love, godly love, agape.
Sure.
Agape. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. All right? Now, which means that to be a father, you need to be very alert. That you need to rise from a low position to a higher position. You don't just become a good father when you are unconscious. Once you are in Christ, you are supposed to be sober in every possible way, clear-headed and disciplined as a father.
That's right.
Now, Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, your entire way of thinking, your entire body, your entire brain, your entire mind must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And not be drunk with wine. Do you know that even in the literal sense, there are many homes that are destroyed because the father
is
a little bit too fond of the bottle.
Yes, Dad. Absolutely.
There is no home, there is no child that you can develop whilst you are drunk. There are people and men who are not in control of their homes, of their children, of their finances, of their infrastructure in the home. Windows are breaking. Things are falling apart because most of the time the father is drunk. Stay away from the bottle. We must also be of sound mind because the spirit that we have is a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind.
Sure.
As a father, you cannot introduce fear and chaos into your family. 2 Timothy 1:7. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Are you self-disciplined? Are you a fearful father yourself?
Sure, Dada.
Who then brings fear into the home? Or are you a man of power, of love, and sound man? What does love do? Love, where there is love, love, perfect love casts out fear.
It does. Covers a multitude of sins.
Perfect love casts out fear. Right? So, but are you self-disciplined? Or are you a father who does anything, anytime, anyhow? Your children don't even know when the next scandal. Your wife is even worried when the next scandal is coming.
Hey, Dad.
But I must say this, and I will repeat it later, that even your health as a father is based on your discipline.
Wow.
So I have prayed over the years that when my grandchildren come and I have them, I will be able to run physically with them around and not run out of breath. So that requires self-discipline.
Yeah.
to keep a regime of health and fitness in order to be a fit father and a fit grandfather.
Mm.
Because there is a mandate of God, the God who never sleeps nor slumbers, who watches over me, that I must never sleep or slumber, but be fit enough at all material times to look after my children and my grandchildren. That is the issue of self-discipline. Fit spiritually, fit physically, fit mentally and intellectually, fit in every possible way, fit for purpose to be a father. So it's not magic that we're talking about. We're talking self-discipline. As a father, you must know for sure that you are loved by God. Now, another quality of God is that God is infinite. In other words, he has no beginning and he has no end. Chiko akuna ngaleko akuna ngebeko. He has no start and he has no finish. So, the Bible says you must be strengthened in your inner man that you may grasp the depth, the breadth, the height, and the width of his love. But how do you go about, because if you go east, you will never reach the end of the love of God. If you go west, you'll never reach the end of the love. If you go north or south, upward or downward, there is no end. But that is the love that you, that God loves you with. It is infinite. So when as a man, you know that you have a God who can target you intentionally with favor, with blessing, with strengthening, what can you fear? If you are a man who is loved with infinite love by God, why would it be possible, impossible for you to love your wife, to love your children, to love your grandchildren, if you are swallowed up and targeted by God with his love and his blessings? And there's a scripture that says in Ephesians 3, in Ephesians, I think, let me speak correctly now, Ephesians 1:3. It says Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. So God loves you. On top of that, he targets you because he has got this unlimited love. God is not a stingy God.
Sure.
The Bible says he did not leave out any spiritual blessing. Every heavenly blessing God has poured in us. And every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, if God has already done that, what is it that you can fail at? What is it that you would need to be able to do? If you have every spiritual blessing. Now, last week we talked about you teaching your children morality, good decision making.
I'll tell you what, Dada, ndicela uxolo kakhulu, only because of time. We absolutely must cross over to the other side of 7 o'clock. I think that the part that we can maybe come back with next week is exactly that, you know. I don't know if you can maybe link that quickly so that we can close and then we will finish the rest next week.
Yes, I can do that. That the part that I wanted you to take home today is that even when it comes to the material provision, the school fees, the food that the children must have, everything, medical care, God makes sure that you have. And you must know this. Otherwise, you won't tap into it. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:10-11, and this is my last scripture. Now, he who supplies seed to the sowers and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Just know that the matter of provision is a matter of God. And God wants you to be able to provide for your children, your grandchildren, and create heritage and create inheritances and sustain a lineage. I will stop there. We'll continue from here next week.
Yo, Dada, wow, this is absolutely incredible. Thank you so much. 8 very powerful points this morning. I have so many questions. I just want to give you a glimpse of the questions that I have. You know, I'm learning that this fatherhood journey, Dada, it's a self-discovery. It's a journey of self-discovery. But we don't discover ourselves in ourselves. We can only discover fatherhood in Christ. And I think that for me is where the penny dropped. Because Christianity on its own is progressive, you know, it is possible to be a present father, but not a father in the pattern of the Lord if you yourself are not in the Lord.
Yes, manhood. Let's put it this way. Manhood is a matter of death.
Okay.
No, male, to be male is a matter of death. Manhood is a matter of choice.
Yeah.
And it is Christ that makes you a man. It is Christ and God the Father who makes you a father. So you can be male, that doesn't make you a father. You can be male, that doesn't make you a man. It is that transformation when you assume that God-like character and godly lifestyle. And we are not talking about holy, holy. We highlighted the characters there. Mm-hmm. Love.
Yeah, ndizawucela tata siyibambe exactly there so that we really don't miss the issue of time, which we already have, but that's fine. Siyabulela kakhulu tata, and we'll catch up with you next week, yeah?
You're most welcome. God bless all your listeners.
Amen. Tato Sandi Leswana, my family, and that's exactly where we leave it. Sincere apologies to my colleague, Kathy, who now keeps you company on the other side of 7 o'clock all the way to, I think, 2 o'clock, 12 o'clock this afternoon. And Sis Mahle, Pastor Ray, they're all coming through on a Sunday. It's been lovely spending time with you. Let's cross over now to church here on Radio Pulpit.
Become active, active in faith. 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit understands that praying alone isn't always easy. So, join us to form a chain of prayer for you and with you. To do so, send in your prayer requests on 067-429-7564. That is 067-429-7564. Or alternatively, email us on prayer@radiopulpit.co.za. That is prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
The Word for You Today is our youth devotional that has been available as a printed booklet and has also been accessible via email. It is intended to encourage and guide young people in their walk with God. Well, we are excited to announce that the youth devotional is going fully digital. This means that the Word for You Today booklet will no longer be available in hard copy or sent by post, but it will still be accessible on the I Am Youth website, email subscription, and the I Am Youth app, which is available on both the Google Play Store and App Store for iPhone users. Visit www.imymovement.co.za and join the move to digital.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.